We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there, Knicks fans.
How you doing?
It's your boy, John of the Macri, with you for another episode of the Knicks Film School podcast coming at you to end your first week of August. Not much going on in Knicks land. You know, minor report coming out from Tony Jones of The Athletic earlier this week in regards to Knicks want to hang on to Quentin Grimes. Jazz really want Quentin Grimes. Other than that, same old, same old. So we continue on kind of with these, you know, shooting the shit pods. Today, bring on our good friend. He is beyond a friend of the pod. He is something elevated above friend of the pod. David Futernick. He has not been on the show, I think, in several months. So it's always a great time. And you will enjoy this convo. As a reminder, we will be back with another pick draft that we, myself, Jeremy, and Andrew are doing the second overall picks throughout all of NBA history for our next draft. That'll be coming your way after this weekend. That's it. Other than that, hope everybody's good. And here's my conversation with David Futernick. Joining me now on the Knicks Film School podcast, the most honored guest that we have ever, in the sense that He's beyond friend of the show. You know what? Actually, I thought of
what is beyond friend. What would that term be?
I'm gonna ask you that in a second. After I actually introduce you, I thought of today's guest the other day as I was walking past someone who had a T-shirt on and said "friend of the pod," and I'm like, what a great shirt, because everybody is a friend of some pod somewhere. And I was like, but that's what makes it funny. But this is why I bring this up. We need a new term to describe you, David Futernick. What is beyond friend of the pod?
Rabbi of the pod?
See, you give me a little bit more on that, because as you know, I am not of the Jewish persuasion.
Well, you have me on, you know, to consult and, you know, to guide you.
To share my
wisdom.
So know. My conciliary of the
yeah pod. Yes
okay
yeah
I think
the Silvio. I'm the Silvio. Oh, yeah,
dude. That's the other time I thought of you recently. When Paulie.
R.I.P. Yeah,
all of them.
Very bizarre, weird string of just actors and all the great Italian like mafia stuff just dying.
I said to everybody, my wife,
protect Robert De Niro at all costs, please.
I said to my wife after, I think it was at, what was the most recent one? Was it Sorvino?
Sorvino, yeah.
Sorvino.
Yeah.
After Sorvino, yeah. I said to my wife, I said, I swear, if something comes across and it starts with Al Pacino or Robert De Niro, I'm gonna melt into a puddle on the ground right there wherever I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what can you do? protect Al Pacino because he's doing so much great acting these days. Oh man, how are you, man? It's good to talk to you on the pod.
It's good. So this is a pod. Is that like spaces? I'm not familiar with pods. I'm familiar with spaces.
I have shout out to. Hold on, I want to make sure I get it right. I want to say Big Nick Energy. Is that someone that's on?
That's
on
a Twitter? Yes.
He's been politely asking me to come on his spaces, and I've said I'll try to carve out 20 minutes or something. Which
John, is easy, but look, as the rabbi of the pod, please let me give you some advice. Let me consult. Stay away from these spaces. Just stay away.
I told him. I've never partaken.
They are a cesspool of just garbage. Just stay away.
I'm so happy you got right into this.
I'm a big fan of Julito and Sean and Cedric Shine's spaces.
Okay.
I think that is the Cadillac of Nick's Twitter spaces. They have a wonderful show. Because the three of them are terrific and they run it like a well-oiled machine because you have to. Most of these spaces, it's like 10 people talking at once. The takes are insane. You know, it's just like if Francesa just let all of his crazy callers just all talk at once and didn't interrupt them.
Wait, do you have the spaces?
Me? No.
Yeah. No?
No, no, no.
Do you go into space?
When Blue Wire was having us do this, that was, locker room.
Locker room there. And then green room, and then which we joked about room, is brown and room.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, when it worked. I did that because Blue Wire was kind of floating us to do that.
Yes.
But no, I have no patience to do a spaces. No, no. I'll let the people who are good at do it and the 95% of people that are not good at doing it, let them just flood the spaces.
and go into the spaces and talk, but not host. That's the.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I listen from time to time and I stew and I just, but I'm not one to talk on these spaces. And it's just why? We don't need to add it. There's no reason to add another fan voice to the cacophony of people talking about
this. So this is part of why I wanted to bring you on. Well, I wanted to bring you on because I just like bullshitting with you, as everybody knows by now. But
we were trying to do this for a long time.
So hold on. Before we
were about to record and my previous microphone decided to die that day. And then
we had two other scheduled times that I had to cancel them and you had to, or maybe.
Yeah, you had to take your family to go eat Hershey's Kisses.
Which we did. And
how was that?
It was good.
The town smells like chocolate, right? Is that what I've heard?
The fact that the place where you go, where they get you to spend all of the money on just all kinds of needless shit. Here, you know what's behind me? Hold on. If you're watching on the YouTube, you could see a giant Kit Kat pillow that my older daughter just had to have.
Wow. Can't wait for the next time you guys move for that to go in the garbage.
That thing is, I'll tape it to her when we move. So that place smelled kind of like chocolate. I don't know how we got on this topic. Yeah.
We were trying to do this for
a while, but when's the last time? The last time you were on, the Knicks were still probably playing basketball games, right?
Oh my God.
It's been that long.
Last time I was on, Bing Bong was still fun and fresh, I guess.
Oh, Jesus. Was that ever? It was like a week.
No. It was like a night. It was like a night until the first loss, until the first, whatever. Was it the Hornets or the
Magic?
The Magic.
The Magic loss. That when it all started going downhill in game three.
Yeah. Whenever they posted Bing Bong when we lost them, that was the death. That was the death.
You can't. That's why you can't get. It's like when the Timberwolves a few years ago when they were like, "Hey, we're good now," which is funny. They're actually good now, but
right.
Yeah. And then they ended up stinking. Anyway, I wanted to get, so it has been a while, which is important yes. because you, the saint that you are somehow, you still, even amidst lots of stuff going on in your life, yes. Maintain a fairly regular online presence.
Less regular than I had, but yes. I still try to do the memes and do the tweets. Yeah.
So you're like my conduit because as we joke about, I don't have as much time anymore to do it. And I feel like with the Donovan Mitchell stuff, especially, but really you could go back to before that. This is probably not the healthiest time to be.
No, you could cut it off there. It's not the healthiest time to be.
A Knicks fan that is heavily online. I feel like here's what I say. Cause I do, as I say all the time on pod, I try to spend at least 5 to 10 minutes a day just kind of scrolling down my feed to get a sense of like what the conversation is. And I feel like a lot of the times over the last few months, I can't last the amount of time that I would like to spend because it's just, I don't know what. And then I'm like, has it always been this way? And I just haven't realized it. I don't know. I don't know how we got here. I don't know.
It's worse now because I think people feel a little bit more empowered. Mm. People are a little less timid. And look, that's a good thing for some smart people that should be posting, but that's a bad thing for a lot of people that just post too much. Like when Chris Mannix was on Dan Patrick's show the other day, you know, I tweeted, Danny Ainge will win this trade.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Obviously sarcastic. Yeah. I got so many people in my replies like, well, you don't know that. Like, actually, I don't think he will because of this and that. It's like, oh, man, you just like you can't do anything online without like this, the worst people just like, you know, in your replies. So I have made a conscious decision as much as I can to just walk away. Just don't, you know, God bless Schwinney. Schwinney is like, I'm going to respond to every one of these motherfuckers and I'm going to give them the business. I don't have the bandwidth or the energy to do that anymore. So God bless him. He's willing to shoot fire back at people.
See, but I feel like if Nick's Twitter was an island that maybe several people have left the island over the years in terms of the regular participation and Schwinn has used it. God bless Schwinn. He has used this as an opportunity to, he has now seized control of the island. It is Schwinny Island.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
It's good. But yet you have made the mature and proper decision to stay off there as much as possible. Cause it's out of control. It's out of control. And I blame Danny Ainge. Let's just blame Danny Ainge. He has driven all of our fan base completely insane. Completely insane. Everybody is crazy now. Because okay, so the trade is going to happen, right? Like, we feel pretty sure about that at this point.
You know, if you'd asked me that a month or whenever, when the report, I mean, it's been a month now, I guess, since the initial report came out, right? If you asked me that a month ago, if you asked me that 2 weeks ago, if you asked me that a week ago, I got to say the last couple of days is the first, I still think it will happen. And if you gave me even odds, it happens or it doesn't happen, I'd still bet that it happens.
Yeah.
Past couple of days is the first time that it is, the possibility has really entered my mind that like, man, would it absolutely shock me if we were sitting here and it was game one of the season and Donovan Mitchell is still a member of the Utah Jazz.
But it's Knicks or bust, right? I mean, like Ainge isn't going to just decide like, okay, Tyler Hero sounds good.
I don't think he will because I don't think, well, if we really want to get into it, I've kind of intimated this before and I'll say it explicitly now, if I haven't already, I don't think he cares about Miami's picks. Not that he doesn't care about Miami's picks, but like what evidence has since Pat Riley has been in Miami, with the exception of 2 years, right? Because Beasley was the number two pick and Wade was the number five pick. I'm pretty sure those are the only picks they've had that have been that high. Like what evidence is there that that team is ever going to bottom out and like really stink, especially when seemingly, you know, the league, everybody in the league always tries to move their way there. Hell, I mean, Donovan Mitchell, that may be his preferred destination.
I mean, I love Bam, but you know, obviously Lowry is over the hill and,
but they'll figure
and Jimmy,
they always seem to figure it out. I mean, look at it this way.
Pat Riley, that fucking snake, that dude, he always makes it happen. Yeah. He always makes it happen. That Gordon Gekko motherfucker.
I hate him so much, but I also respect the hell out of him. No, but like he was in jail a couple of years ago with those terrible contracts that he signed. It was his fault, you know, with the Kelly Olynyk and the James Johnson. And I'm forgetting somebody else. It was a bad deal. And even like Duncan Robinson, not a good contract in retrospect. But
yeah,
I think Ainge thinks that Riley will probably figure it out. So I don't think he cares about that. You know, but it's like, when the reports came out the other day about, oh, Charlotte's been making phone calls. And Washington, I put aside because they are very pick encumbered. But like Charlotte today, if they want to, they could trade their 27 and 29 first round picks unprotected with a swap in between. Man, if I'm another organization, I have a chance to get to own Charlotte's drafts 5, 6, and 7 years from now.
You take that.
That's not. But again, I'm spitballing. The reason I even bring it up is it, and this is why I say it for the first time, it's entered my mind. Like, I wonder if this is really going to happen.
See,
how much of hardball is Leon Rose prepared to play? That's really right. Where I'm at.
See, I think what's going for the Knicks the most is that it's very apparent that he wants to be in New York
or Miami. I think he would be okay in Miami, but I think Miami or New York, and specifically, I think he wants to be on the Knicks.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I don't see Ainge going that far because it could turn really sour if the season starts and Donovan's still there. It could be kind of ugly.
I think that's one of the variables that I'm interested in. What would happen if he's on the roster?
I would imagine that's how Leon feels. You know, in the game of chicken, I feel like he's like Ainge will eventually buckle before the season starts. That's how I would feel if I was Leon. Now I'm not smart enough to run a front office. So maybe that's off base.
Steve Mills, God bless him.
He went to Princeton, though. He did go to Princeton.
Phil Jackson, brilliant basketball mind.
Yeah.
I don't need to say anything else there. Isaiah Thomas. Come on, man. I'm talking you up here.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, you know what? I could do it very easily. I could do it.
I'll help you. Then we'll really be in trouble.
Oh, God.
No, but like, I think so. And this is why I think this, for as unhealthy as maybe some of the discourse has been about it, I do think it is a fascinating discussion because one of the very first topics that came up when we started talking about the Mitchell thing was like leverage, who has leverage? And there were, it was back and forth. I think initially it was like Danny Ainge kind of being able to stare down Leon Rose and like, okay, the report's out there. We're trading Mitchell. I dare you not to give us what we want. And I think
10 picks and all of your young players
and his firstborn is Sam Rose, ironically enough. Trade us Sam Rose.
Wow. The first baby to tamper.
you know, and I think Leon Rose did a good job of surviving that, but like he got over that. I think now maybe the game flips because not yet because it's just the beginning of August. Training camp doesn't open for, you know, close to 2 months. Mm-hmm. But I think that's maybe the next time, because again, it's like, all right, they're really going to open camp with Mitchell there and force Mitchell to answer questions and force the coach to answer questions and have this big distraction. But if they get past that hurdle, then I don't know. Does the pressure go back on the Knicks? Does the pressure stay in Utah? Because game one, is Mitchell going to be on the roster? Like, I think the training camp one is probably the bigger one, because I guess maybe my hot take is I think that they could keep Mitchell and still be like, because like we've seen teams like be mediocre for 10, 15, 20, 25 games and get heavily into the tanking race. Like Houston did it a couple of years ago. Like they had like a winning record after 20 games. And then they ended up, that was, I think the pick they got, Jalen Green. If I'm not mistaken. So like, I don't think that is like the end of the world. If they're like, oh, he's on the roster game one, immediately we're going to win too many games. But yeah, I don't know.
So there's so in recent days, there's a kernel of doubt now in your mind that it might not happen.
Not doubt, I guess. In a way, and honestly, in a way, this is my way of complimenting Leon Rose, because I think.
Well, the guy that won't have press conferences. Okay.
What do you think we would have to do to get Leon Rose to come and talk to me and you on this podcast about all of his deepest, darkest secrets?
Be different people. That's for sure. Be different, much more powerful people.
We'd have to be
a couple of Dolans. Well, yes. I mean,
Mike Breen has been on this pod.
That's true. That's true. Mike Breen.
It's a transitive property. A equals B, B equals C.
You've had Chuck D. You've had a lot of heavy hitters on here. Yeah.
None heavier than you, of course.
Well, I'm trying to lose some weight.
I don't know. That beer's looking pretty thick.
Yeah. I'm going to get a haircut today. And I'm like, every time I get a haircut, people are like, why did you lose weight? And I'm like, nope, definitely not.
I'm in the weird in-between zone right now because my beard was getting untenable. So I trimmed it yesterday. But I try to coordinate my beard trimmings and my haircuts on the same day because I hate the way I look when I have a trimmed beard, but like my hair is still long.
You're so vain. You're so vain, man.
I'm the vainest person alive, man. I'm the vainest motherfucker.
Listen to yourself.
I need to look my best because only me looking at my best can I feel like I should be allowed out of the house. If I look anything other than my best.
That's fair.
They should lock me away.
Good for you. Most married men just give up. So, no. You know, good for you. Good for you.
There was a day last week I ran like 5 or 6 miles, 3 out of 4 days.
Look at you in the summer in New York. I'm impressed.
I'm going to be 40 next year. I am definitely going through that midlife crisis where it's like 40 years old. I need the six pack abs. Yep. I need the gun show.
Yep. I need the Metamucil. Yeah.
Terrible.
For sure.
So anyway, back to Leon Rose.
Yes.
Come on the pod, Leon.
Future friend of the pod.
Future Leon friend. Rose. He'll be a friend of the pod. He does not get any special designation. But
not until he talks to the media.
Yes. Yeah. But you must talk to the media, Leon. I think he's done a really good job. Again, famous last words. I trust him and I trust the front office and I trust where they're at right now. And I this is actually kind of a roundabout way to get back to the whole Knicks Twitter discussion. And the reason I like it is because everybody's rationale, I think, in the media for why the trade was going to get done, period, but especially sooner rather than later, is that, oh, it's the Knicks. They've been gearing up for this. They have what it takes to get it done. They'll pay what they need to pay to get it done. And look,
the idea that the Knicks need this.
I want to go back to that. And this is a point I want to talk to you about because I think a lot of people feel the same way that you do, which is when the media says the Knicks need Donovan Mitchell, it comes off in a certain way where it's like
we're a small market team
or we're desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. This idea, it's like similar to, you know, your Indianas or your Charlottes or, you know, what have you, where it's like you need to make this trade because you don't typically have a chance to get players like this because nobody wants to go there.
So that's, I like the way that you phrase that, because I think, yes, that is true of some cities, that it is not true of New York. The reason why I admire Leon for having the chutzpah to hold off and giving up everything.
No, the rabbi approves of that.
Rabbi approves. Yes. That's a t-shirt. is because, and this has been an unpopular take of mine, I do think, not that they need Donovan Mitchell because of the reasons you're saying, but given the situation that exists in terms of the landscape of the league, where star players are at in terms of how their happiness level with their current teams, the ages of a lot of those respective players, I do believe there will not be a better first star to trade for than Donovan Mitchell right now. I think this is the best opportunity they will have to get the ball rolling on, God willing, eventually becoming a contending team. It does not mean that they need to give up everything. And in fact, I've tried to couch that, my sentiment on that with, but the deal still needs to make sense. And I understand I'm trying to have my cake and eat it too here, but like, this is a situation that makes a lot of sense for these two teams to make this trade. And the fact that they haven't made the trade yet, again, I have to think it's because Leon is sticking to his guns, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think that, again, a lot of people got bent out of shape with this notion that the Knicks need Donovan Mitchell. And I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want Donovan Mitchell? Are you like,
for the right price? Yeah. Yeah. He has his flaws, which is why
he does,
you know, which is why that opening ask by Ainge was insane.
It was insane. Yes.
We know his defensive woes and we know his crunch time woes. Like those are the,
and playmaking. If you look at his distribution is at and how much better he makes his teammates and the passes he makes, and more importantly, the passes he doesn't make, mm-hmm. and you compare it to other guys that he wants to be considered in their caliber as offensive players, forget about defense, just as offensive players, he's not on their level. And I think for me, that's probably the biggest knock, because I think he'll defend when he cares. I just think he's given a shit for a couple of years.
Right.
But so you do want him. Do you have one walkaway point, or you're like, I'll know an overpay when I see it.
I obviously want to give up. I don't give a shit about the picks, you know, like I don't care. I don't care about the picks. To an extent, I don't want to give up.
That's what I was going to ask.
Too many picks, but also it's like, this is why they have stockpiled the picks, you know, like, and we never tank. So why are we hanging on to all these picks? Like when we're like, you know, with the exception of the RJ year, like we're never high lottery anyway. And they've shown, this front office has shown a real talent at finding good players late first, early second round, you know? So I trust that they can still find some gems in the draft, while giving away some of these firsts. I obviously want to part with as few of our young guys as possible.
That's where that's what you care about.
Yes.
Most.
That's what I care about. Because some of these guys, I think, are going to contribute to winning basketball.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you haven't heard already, it's Smooth Sack Summer. When you're playing in the summer sun, make sure you're scaped from pubes to bum. That's right, this is the summer to keep your balls cool while you're still looking hot with Manscaped. The leader in below-the-belt grooming is making sure we all have a ball this summer by giving our pants partners everything they need to stay fresh. Dive headfirst into Smooth Sack Summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with our code FILMSCHOOL. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 has everything you need to prepare that summer bod. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch, and gives you the ability to turn the 4,000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Beach, lake, or shower, this razor will devour even the strongest pubes. Now that you have the perfect haircut, use Manscaped's liquid formulations to keep that freshness even at the hottest BBQs. Most importantly, use the Crop Preserver ball deodorant to stay cool in the heat. With a soothing aloe vera formula, it's the best in the business for below-the-waist freshness. And this clear drying formula will keep looking good while smelling good. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag that will bring your comfort to another level. Wearing sandals with some nasty toenails during the summer months? Take a look at the Shears 2.0, a luxury nail grooming kit. This includes stainless steel nail cutters, tweezers, and grooming scissors. With the performance package, your balls will be ready to impress, but make sure you cover the rest with the Shears 2.0. Don't hesitate. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FILMSCHOOL at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code FILMSCHOOL at manscaped.com. It's Smooth Sack Summer, boys. Get on board or get left behind.
I don't want to part with both IQ and Grimes. I would like to hang on to one of them. I think I probably believe in Grimes more just as a complementary player to other star players. You know, I think what he does defensively, his shot, and what he's like, I'm really impressed with how much he's grown in a short amount of time. Now, Danny Ainge knows that too. Like we all have eyeballs. You know, I think the summer league performance is a little overblown, as summer league always often is, whether it's positive or negative. But he was starting last year.
But it's not just that he was starting, and like once he got the opportunity, it felt like it was, to me at least, it was evident early on, he's not giving this up. And the only reason he eventually gave it up was because he got hurt. Right. And then when he tried to come back late in the year, and credit to him, like, if the, I know he's a rookie and he wanted to like show what he's made of and everything.
I was at that Miami game when he like limped off. It was awful.
And it was,
his first game like back.
3 seconds, right?
Yeah. Oh, but you love that. The kid has it. The kid has, he has it. And he, and that is the type of player, like when they're in year 3, 4, 5, like where you're like, oh, this is a dude on a championship caliber team, like the third or fourth dude on a championship caliber team.
I think we're seeing that, like, it already.
You can like, you will succeed with him on the court, and he doesn't need the ball in his hands. He can catch and shoot. He can play defense. He's like clearly added, you know, a little drive to his game now, which is important. So it, you know, help him, you know, his defenders respect his shot a little bit more too. So I tend to lean towards him over IQ. I don't want to part with both of them. Now, Obi is the interesting thing, because I feel like, you know, what is Obi? We haven't been able to see Obi. I love Obi, but like Obi played fucking 10 minutes at a time last year.
Well, that's the thing. It's not just what is Obi. It's where is Obi? As in, is he on the court or is he on the bench? Right. And like we're recording this on Thursday, August 4th. This is going to be a long-winded way of getting back to Obi, but today is the day that LeBron James is allowed to extend with the Los Angeles Lakers. Should he so choose?
I wonder if he will.
But here's my point, and this is, I've referenced this on the show a few times, because I do think this has to do, this connects to the Knicks, because if you're LeBron and you feel like you've lost your stranglehold on the Lakers organization over the last year after they did nothing at the trade deadline, right? Mm-hmm. And they hung on to the picks, the whole thing. And like Jeannie Buss is sending out whatever tweets, well, before her Twitter account. I haven't seen. What did her hack
Jeannie, put the Casamigos down. Like,
is it
just, you know,
is it bad? Because I just know her account got hacked.
Did it get hacked?
Apparently.
That's what everyone always says when like they make some mistakes on Twitter.
How bad is it? Whatever she tweeted.
It wasn't bad. It was just like, whoa, what's going on there? It's just like kind of like an emotional, like Kobe tweet.
Oh, that I saw.
Oh,
I
you saw
something
that.
Else. More
oh, there was something else.
Oh, we should look this up live. We won't make Andrew's life too tough. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you could. I'll look it up real quick. The next time you were talking about something. But no, I was. So, yeah, Jeannie had that weird emotional tweet about Kobe and, you know, kind of shots fired to LeBron. Right. Yeah, LeBron and Russ not making eye contact at Summer League. Mm-hmm. So what other way does LeBron James have to exert pressure on the Lakers organization other than not signing an extension and going into unrestricted free agency next year? And does that push the Lakers' hand as far as trying to find a taker for Russ? Now, how am I relating this to Obi? Because I maintain that the best offer, I think, that could be on the table for the Lakers could be Russ in exchange for Julius and Evan Fournier. And then if you get Utah involved, there's your trade. Mm-hmm. Could you get the Lakers to send a first round pick to the Jazz to give them some more draft equity? Maybe that's how you keep, whether it's Grimes or Obi or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, then sure as shit, you're going to want to keep Obi, because now he's your starting
power forward. Yeah. Right.
But in the absence of that, and I've been a wet noodle on this point over the last month. I have just talk about the opposite of grounded. I have no conviction on this in terms of like, who do I want to keep the most and who am I most willing to send out? My heart says one thing, my head says another thing.
It's tough to gauge, right? Because I was one of the people that wanted the kids to play more last year, and it's hard to fully know them because they didn't all get the playing time they deserved.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, Obi, especially obviously, but like
he was Randall should have been shut down at the break.
Yes. Yes. insane. So that makes all of this just so much harder.
It does. It makes it harder also. And here's the other, my latest thought that I've been spitballing around in my own noggin is like, I understand Obi has very specific and unique traits that can disrupt a defensive game plan. Mm-hmm. But I've also been thinking about like, so John Collins, I think for not exactly the same type of player, but same kind of general outline. And to be clear, I think Obi Toppin's ceiling is actually higher than John Collins. That might sound insane to some people, but I really do believe that. I think he is.
Well,
we know who John Collins is, and we know he's not worth $25 million a year, which is what he's getting paid.
No.
But my point is John Collins a $25 million a year player? No. I don't know. Is he a $15 million a year player? Is he somewhere closer to 20? Maybe somewhere in that range. Here's the point. Atlanta went into this offseason, literally everybody reported this, wanting to get rid of John Collins. Yep. Toxic relationship with Trae Young. They're like, it's really bad. Anyone could have had this guy for whatever it was. He's still on the freaking Hawks. And I don't think that's as much a John Collins thing. I think that's more of like the league recognizes where championship teams, like what their roster construction looks like. And when you're talking about that four, and you're talking about those players, and by the way, Julius Randle kind of slots into this conversation too. When you're talking about big guys who aren't traditional wings, mm-hmm. like John Collins isn't a big wing. He's a big who can't protect the rim. Same thing as Obi Top. I mean, Obi could protect the rim a little bit, we think, but you know, not in the sense that the truly elite defensive teams, I think, you know, right. that type of rim production.
Right, right.
My point is that, like, you could get these guys pretty easily, you know, the more traditional four men that are out there. And if you can do the trade for Mitchell and Obi is the piece that goes out and you could live with the picks, I wonder if that's where this is headed, if you get to keep Grimes and quickly.
Oh my God. I mean, I would be content with that. I love Obi, but yeah, if you could keep Grimes and IQ. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, then you have a bit of a log jam at guard, but like, that's the only thing.
So then the issue is well, obviously Randall would stick around, which again, I have my misgivings about.
And Fournier would stick around.
but that's what I'm not sure. So you can do, oh my God, I haven't checked my salaries structures on this in a while. I think Rose, Obi, and I think Cam would have to be outgoing too, but they could find a taker for Cam.
I'm not a Cam guy. Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious that they made that trade to be a part of a package at some point. You know, it was pretty obvious when he wasn't playing.
When they traded for him and he was sitting on the bench. But it does create a logjam. And that's the other part of this is like, okay, you trade Obi, they sign Melo to back up Randall. It's the most predictable thing in the world. Temporarily, that would create a logjam because theoretically either Fournier or Rose would still be here. And then you still have IQ and you still have Grimes. And oh, by the way, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, RJ Barrett, all those guys are playing 30, you know, 34, 36 minutes a night. But again, that doesn't have to be your final product. And another thing I've been thinking now is like long term, if they're going to keep Brunson, which I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon, and Mitchell, is this all playing towards we see the championship version of ourselves and it contains RJ at the four, not starting at the four, but for like when it comes down to when it's brass tacks and it's like playoff basketball, that's our lineup for 20 minutes a game. And again, you want to talk about getting way ahead of ourselves. I am so far ahead of where anywhere I should reasonably be. But that's what makes this conversation so fascinating is these are the discussions I think you need to have now before you even make this trade.
Right. So,
I don't know. I could be off base.
No. I agree. Yeah.
There's so many
combinations here, which is why, you know, everybody and their mother feels the need to chime in on the spaces.
we're recording this on August 4th. I've written a lot about the Mitchell thing and like possible trades. I think I'm going to give myself another couple of days of even touching the subject, and then I'm out until camp. I can't write about Donovan Mitchell stuff anymore.
No. I'm tired of hearing about it.
Before we finish up, let's forget about Donovan Mitchell.
Yes.
Are you excited about the team going into next year? Let's pretend Donovan Mitchell doesn't exist.
I feel like I always talk myself into being excited because you have to.
I'm excited.
You know, I mean, RJ, new season. I'm excited about Jalen Brunson.
I'm so excited about Brunson.
I mean, we have not had a point guard in so long. It's been so long. Besides Derrick Rose, which is like, you know, when he was healthy, look at the product. You know, look at what the product was.
How we felt when Derrick Rose would get his minutes, his 10, 12 minutes a half when he first got here.
And he was cooking. Just like, oh, yeah.
It was like, this is what this looks like. That's, I think, going to be Jalen Brunson, the experience watching Jalen Brunson.
Yeah. Now we have a guy who's 25. A guy in his prime. Yes. So, yes, I'm excited. I'm excited. Last season was such a big wet fart. I'm ready for just a decent, you know, play-in, you know, bottom seed playoff caliber team until, you know, when something shakes things up, the roster as is, you know, I'm trying so desperately hard to talk myself into a Randall rebound year. I'm trying so hard, you know, not Randall, you know, all-star for, you know, second team Randall. I'm talking myself into just like a solid season, like the season he had with New Orleans. I would take that, you know,
in a heartbeat.
My hope is maybe I'm putting too many eggs into the Jalen Brunson basket, and I probably am, but I'm just expecting there to be much more flow to the offense now. You know, you have a guy that, is a real point guard. And I'm hoping that helps RJ, that helps Julius. God forbid that helps Evan Fournier. You know, like,
I forgot how much distaste you had for the baguette. It's a baguette. It's so delicious.
I mean, I love the French. I love French food.
Escargot, escargot guy.
Yeah. Oh, I love escargot. Heck, when you know, I can understand you're like, oh, when you think about what it is being deterred, but how can you not love something just sitting in butter and garlic? I mean, come on.
It's incredible.
You dip the baguette in it.
That's the thing. You need the French bread to dip in the butter after you eat it. Man.
Yeah.
I love this guy. I want escargot right now. No, but here's the thing. Like, you know why it's easy to talk yourself into? Because the addition of Brunson, and we've spent all this time this summer talking about how we can't give up these kids because their potential is so high. Well, now if we keep them and we don't get Mitchell, which again, I think we both still believe it's going to happen, but like just on the chance it doesn't, like we get to keep all of the kids and theoretically see them play more than they did last year because there are going to be, you know, there's going to be a little bit more time for them and not as many impediments standing in their way. And look, I think if
the Mitchell trade doesn't happen going into the season, you know, I'm sure there's going to be pressure from the front office to showcase the young talent more.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
You know, the Obi especially, I feel like there's going to be pressure to have them just, yeah, to showcase them in case there is a trade that pops up. You know, you have to. Sorry, Tibbs. I know that's his kryptonite.
But no,
like,
he did the little redemption tour through the newspapers. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Mark Berman. Come back, Mark. We miss you. But that has to happen. That's a non-negotiable. OB 20 minutes a game somehow, some way. It has to happen. It's a non-starter. Hopefully he is a starter. That would be even better. But I think there's a lot to get excited about. I think they make a lot more sense. I do think a lot of it hinges on Randall, just buying in to the fact that he is very much clearly not going to be the guy anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think last year that really mind fucked him. Not that he was still the guy last year, but his, you know, the MO of like, you have to change your way you play a little bit to accommodate Fournier and Kemba coming in. I think that's part of what screwed him up. I don't think that's going to be the case as much this year, because if you're him, I mean, I don't know. Don't you have to be like, can't get any worse? I talked myself into it.
I'm watching The Captain right now, which is
yes,
sensational. Sorry to Mets fans out there. But like, you know, shoot that series into my veins. Cause I'm just like everything, like music, like Knicks lore. I like to just live in the 90s forever.
It's a great time.
The nostalgia for that time in New York, especially, was just like, is the best. It was just like, all the teams were great. It was awesome. Sorry, Jets fans, but you know, like
the championship game with Testaverde, was that 99 or
that was 90? Oh yeah. 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 So even the Jets had a little happiness.
There you go.
But I, you know, you listen to Derek talk about what it's like playing in New York, and I just can't stop thinking about Julius.
Really?
Because you hear the poise that he has, and like, you know, there was a season where he was slumping and getting booed bad. This is Derek Jeter.
I remember that well.
Multiple rings by that point. Yep. Getting booed. And, you know, he took it on the chin, you know, like that's, you have to do that. And when A-Rod comes in, he, you know, obviously wasn't happy about it, but like he rolled with the punches, and, you know, and he did what was right for the team. And I'm just like, man, Julius needs to take a chapter out of that book. Cause that was really, I think, what went so bad last year is that, and look, I can't even imagine what that's like to play in New York as a star athlete. It is the amount of pressure is great, but also it's like, you should want that, you know, like that means that you are a star, which is like, isn't that what you want? A star where the lights are brightest. And you just have to look when things are not going great. You gotta be better about like, just taking responsibility and, you know, and sucking it up. I mean, that's a part of the deal. You know, that's the yin and the yang of being what, you know, I say leader in quotes, you know, like the leader of the team.
No, but he made himself out to be the leader.
Right.
And so when your leader is, you know, talk about melting into a puddle, you know, right in front of your eyes, and multiple occasions last year, it wasn't just the thumbs down. It was the, you know, I remember the getting ejected in the Suns game. It was the scuffle he got into. I think it was against the Pacers. You know, which is, I mean, it was just all this, the bullshit. After they won the game, I think it was against the Bulls or somebody. They won a game in dramatic fashion. And then he just walks off the court and walks back to the locker room because it wasn't through him at the end.
Right.
Like,
right.
He let that all build on itself to the point where it was beyond unhealthy. I cannot imagine. I literally can't imagine it gets worse.
Yeah.
It can't, it can't possibly play worse. Is what I tell myself. So if he comes back and he has a better year, and then you got Brunson doing his thing and you get RJ hopefully being a little bit more efficient. And then Grimes is probably, honestly, the more we talk about him, the more I think about him, I think he might be the guy I'm most excited about to see next year.
Yeah.
What he could do in year two, because here's the other thing. If he's on the team, you don't trade him and he's your starting two guard, man, you want to talk about rising value, asset value? I think he's going to have a chance to look pretty good in that role if he gets it, but we'll see. As I always do before I, anything else we didn't cover Knicks wise, basketball wise, NBA wise?
No, there's nothing happening. Not really. Yeah. this is the dregs, man. This is always the tough part. It's like, just wait until October. It's just brutal.
I mean, I always tell myself camp opens at the end of September.
Yep.
That's my thing. But yeah, we'll end with this. What do you, anything cooking, anything on the hop, or any place we should look to see? No,
Some Credit Karma commercial that's airing right now. Apparently I haven't seen it, but people have told me they've seen it. So look out for that.
It's not, is that going on the reel or is it not?
I don't think it's going to make the reel. Yeah. It's going right before Will Ferrell. Yeah. The Credit Karma commercial. Now shout out to Credit Karma. Thank you for paying my bills for hopefully the next few months. So the people from Credit Karma were very nice. So
I'm sure they're lovely people.
Shouts to them. And they let me improvise a shit ton. I'm sure none of it made it into the commercial because it couldn't possibly, because they let me be so crazy. But
now you make me want to see the commercial.
Well, I'm sure the final cut of the commercial is exactly the script, because that's how it always goes. They go, riff, we'll have your riff, like, and then you just like improvise. I was improvising for hours and I'm sure none of it made it into the commercial.
That's a little disheartening.
I mean, that's, you get pretty used to that. That's how it goes. Yeah, because then the writers of the commercial go, no, we're just gonna stick to what we wrote.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, trucking along. The summer is always a little quiet. So September rolls around, stuff picks up, training camp, acting work, all the good stuff.
I'm trying to enjoy the downtime, but I'm like you.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you especially need to enjoy it. Cause I mean,
but that's
the Knicks film school machine needs a break.
Yes, I do. I do need to try to enjoy it, but it does take effort for me to enjoy downtime.
I understand that.
Although I think
you feel guilty that you're not writing something.
If I'm not doing something, I'm like, what, you know, I should be doing something right now. But no, we've been doing a good job. I think this week, especially we did the Hershey thing. Mm-hmm. Here's one for you. For the first time since I was probably 8 or 9 years old, so we're talking 30 years, went to the Staten Island Zoo with my wife and two kids yesterday.
Wait, I'm sorry.
The Staten Island Zoo.
What zoo?
The Staten Island Zoo.
That's at the old insane asylum, right? Did you ever watch that documentary, Cropsey? Was it Cropsey? Is that what it was called?
I didn't catch that one.
Well, you lived it. You lived it.
I did.
So you're a Staten Island boy.
But no, I got to tell you, shout out to the folks at the Staten Island Zoo. Fantastic, fantastic zoo experience.
Really?
Really much.
The chimpanzees are eating pizza and
no chimpanzee and several other types of primates though. And there was they still got an anaconda, a python, an anaconda. They got some kind of big cat. I forget the name of it. It was cool, but it was a good zoo experience. And then today, this morning, we got to give our daughter some culture. Took the kids to the Met.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
It's, you know what? That is a great, like, first, like, kind of art museum for kids.
That was my thought. It's very,
a lot of stimulation.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the older one's interest lasted for close to an hour. So I was,
that's good.
I was pleased. Very nice. Pleased. Yeah.
Look at you.
But yeah, you know, I'm trying to make the best of the time.
Yeah. Good. Good.
And then, you know, intermittently write about and talk about the Knicks. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah.
I love that smile. You're like, man, get the fucking Mitchell trade done already so I can go on with my life.
Yeah. I'm so tired of hearing about it, but you know.
Well, tell the folks at home before I let you go where they could find you and where they could hear your voice, more importantly.
Well, you can always, I should say always. I've been on a bit of a hiatus from both my podcasts, but we're about to record this week. So you can find me at the Super Hoopers podcast on our beloved Blue Wire network, as well as O Sopranos podcast. We're going episode by episode, taking our sweet time. Episode by episode. We're in 6A right now. We have made it to season 6. So
oh, you're up to 6. We're, I'm behind. Yeah.
We're a little stalled out, but like, yeah, because once we finish the series, what do we do? Like, it's the podcast just ends. And then we're like, should we do Boardwalk Empire? Should we?
Oh.
One of my co-hosts actually he's obviously a monster Sopranos fan. He never watched Boardwalk Empire. I'm like, what? This seems crazy to me. Look, it's not as good of a show.
I watched the first couple episodes, I think.
I love Terry Winters. I think he was one of the best writers on Sopranos. Uh-huh. And the thing about Boardwalk is that it kept you on your toes so well. And Bobby Cannavale, his character, he's only in one season. Jip Rossetti is like one of the greatest television characters ever.
Really?
Like hands down, like underrated performance. He is unbelievable. He's just an unbelievable villain. I think it's season 3 that he pops up in. But we're really trying to stretch out the Sopranos eps, you know. But yeah, we're in 6A. And yeah, you can find me at Super Hoopers, which is NBA podcast for those who don't know, a comedy podcast. So it might be a nice escape right now with, you know, everybody having their awful, you know, very serious NBA takes to listen to three guys, you know, just fuck around.
I just looked up. Bobby Cannavale is with Rose Byrne.
Yes. Yeah. I think they've been together for a long time.
For like a decade.
Yeah.
I was looking him up because I swear, if anybody has any information on this, feel free to DM me or something. I swear I thought I saw him in the neighborhood here in Brooklyn. He feels like a guy who lives in Brooklyn, sure. Right?
Absolutely. He seems like a guy I would want to hang out with, you know, which I can't say about many actors. I hate most actors. So
you really?
Especially like actors who like to talk about being an actor. I just have no patience for that. I want to talk about anything other than being an actor. So that being said, yeah, see me in the Credit Karma commercial. You can always go check me out on As We See It on Amazon. I'm in a few episodes of that. If you haven't checked that out, it's a wonderful show. Find me on Twitter, making memes.
Speaking of Twitter, to close the loop on the Genie Bus thing, she got hacked.
Found it.
She's got hacked. Someone's hawking PS5s from her account.
Okay,
it was the Bontemps thing from a few months ago. It's like a picture of a PS5 too.
Is Bontemps the writer that's been faked the most? I feel like that became like its own like meme, like like fake Bontemps tweets.
I don't know. That poor guy,
him and Jeff Passan, it's like the MLB Woj, basically. Like, I feel like they get their tweets faked.
Big week for that guy. Oh, yeah. Funny, you're the best.
You're the best. I'm glad we finally did this again. And I'll come back on when there's like shit to talk about.
We'll do it again before the season. I know that.
Yeah.
Stay on for a second. I'm going to sign off right now. Everybody, thanks for checking out another episode of the Knicks Film School podcast. See, this is how you know you're more than a friend of the pod. I never do the sign off with anybody else. I'm going to do it with you still here. Don't forget, as you should with Funny's Pods, leave us a nice review, 5-star rating. And of course, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, subscribe. And we'll be back with another episode, another pick draft This, the second pick draft, me, Jeremy, Andrew, it'll be coming your way, dropping midnight Sunday into Monday. So check that out. And of course, if and when news breaks, we'll be there, especially now that Andrew's done with his vacation in Miami. So he'll be here on the ground and we'll be able to do that. But of course, nothing's going to happen because we live in a Kafka novel and we're just going to perpetually go on in trade negotiation purgatory. All right. That's it. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Talk to you soon. Peace out.